Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here. Welcome back to Tesla Daily. Today we're going to be talking about a handful of analyst updates on Tesla stock. Also got some sales reporting out of China, just wholesale sales at this point, but we'll take a look at those numbers. Also got some sales reporting out of Germany. We'll check in on Twitter and a couple other items as well. All right, so looking at the stock, even though the analyst notes that we're going to talk about here in a second were all price target decreases from their previous price targets, Tesla today still with a pretty decent outperformance, basically finishing flat on the day, down 0.05%. to close at 222.96. The NASDAQ was down 1%. That is a new low for the year, and in fact, the lowest price that the NASDAQ has hit since July 2020, so over 2 years. Could be a volatile week this week, of course, with the producer price index and consumer price index coming on Wednesday and Thursday mornings, respectively. We've also got the meeting minutes from the last FOMC meeting coming out on Wednesday, and even though those are multiple weeks old at this point in time, always seem to cause some sort of reaction. We did have some comments today from FOMC Vice Chair Lyle Brainard. She said that the interest rate hikes that we have seen so far are still going to be working their way through the economy. Some could maybe interpret that as more dovish or indicative of slower rate hikes or less of a significant peak. But I mean, we've seen throughout the year that their expectations as we move through this haven't really meant a whole lot. They're going to continue to increase rates until rate policy is in a more restrictive place. I think once they're in that place, that'll give them more patience to see how things end up flushing through. One more item while we are on more broad topics here, just to check in, Twitter stock was up about 2.5% today. We didn't really get a whole lot of news on this over the weekend, maybe a bit surprising, but we do have a report from The Information, which says that they have been told by both Sequoia Capital and Binance that if Elon is successful with his acquisition, that their respective $800 million and $500 million equity investments in Twitter do remain committed to that transaction. So $1.3 billion there in total of the 7.1 that has been listed as an equity commitment so far. Of course, not all parties are going to comment on those commitments, but it is good to see some confirmation from a little bit of that capital. All right, let's move into the Tesla-specific news. We're going to start off with a few analyst updates first here from Adam Jonas of Morgan Stanley. He has lowered his Tesla price target from $383 previously, now to $350. Still significant upside to where we're trading today and still an overweight rating on the stock, but I wanted to go through this in a little more detail because I think this captures the perception or the sentiment around Tesla right now after the Q3 delivery and production report. The note kicks off saying, quote, "We believe factors that drove Tesla's weaker than expected Q3 production and deliveries could continue to present headwinds in a Q4 as well as in a fiscal year 2023. We wanted to allow for greater margin for error in the supply chain as well as incremental pressures from foreign exchange headwinds, inflation, startup costs, and to a lesser degree, demand destruction," end quote. So all of a sudden, we've got these caution flags waving across multiple facets of this report. Morgan Stanley lowering their delivery expectations, they're lowering their gross margin expectations. We'll talk about those in a second. And then they're also highlighting possible demand destruction. They say, is Tesla experiencing demand destruction? Quote, "Very likely at the margin, although this would be reflected in shorter lead times and price declines in the months ahead as even EV consumers may be feeling the effects of inflation fatigue slash buyer strike. Nevertheless, we believe Tesla will still sell every vehicle it can produce through the fiscal year 2023 forecast," end quote. So in a very short period of time here, we've gone from this cycle of Tesla increasing prices very rapidly, something that makes Wall Street pretty excited, confident in demand, to prices having stagnated for a while, the backlog is decreasing a little bit weaker sales in China, which we'll talk about in a second. So pretty sudden change in a lot of different factors here and all of that piling on top of concern around the macro economy. Now, there are plenty of counter arguments to be made here, but the point is just to present what I think is the prevailing perception right now of Tesla. And right or wrong, the uncertainty around some of those factors, that's having a big effect on Tesla right now. So we're going to need to see Tesla prove some of those things wrong. And I think the Q3 report is a pretty good opportunity to do that. If Tesla can demonstrate that their cost of goods sold is under control, maybe dropping a little bit, that will give investors confidence that Tesla is handling inflation and that even if they do need to drop prices, they can still maintain a very healthy margin. Anyway, back to the Jonas note, these caution flags that he is waving have caused him to make some changes in his model. He's lowered his delivery forecast for this year to 1.31 million vehicles from 1.37 million before. That means he's expecting right around 402,000 vehicles delivered in Q4. For next year, fiscal year 2023, he has dropped his delivery forecast from 2 million vehicles before now to 1.8 million. That's an average of 450,000 per quarter. That's lower than I believe Tesla's production rate is going to be in Q4. As pricing comes into focus too, they are dropping their margin expectations, now expecting just 25% automotive gross margin, excluding regulatory credits for the third quarter, and then for next year, just 24.5%. That'd be lower than any quarter in the last five, despite all of the shutdowns that Tesla's had to deal with, despite SNX not being at volume production, despite Berlin and Texas both ramping up, same thing on 4680 production. And yes, there will be things that Tesla's ramping next year that will have that effect too, with the Cybertruck, but probably not to the degree that Tesla's been dealing with over the last couple of years. Since the beginning of 2021, Tesla's auto gross margin X credits has been 27.5%, despite all of those negative factors. So it's just not making a lot of sense. As I said on that Sunday of the delivery report, I think the cost improvements that Tesla is going to be making are continuing to be underestimated. I think that is directly shown here. Whatever demand pockets may or may not be happening right now, I think Tesla will work through them and prove this type of analysis wrong. And remember, Adam Jonas still has a $350 price target on the stock. Everyone comes to their price target a little bit differently and incorporates different things, but that should tell you a little bit about where the consensus expectation or perception is right now. Anyway, a couple of other analyst updates. We've got UBS here. They have lowered their price target to $350 from $367 before. They were at $1,100 pre-split. And then almost an identical adjustment from RBC. They've lowered from $367 as well, now down to a $340 price target for Tesla. All right, next we've got a little bit of information on Tesla sales in China in September. This is just wholesale sales at this point. We should get more detail like retail, export, and hopefully production over the next day or so. But for now, it's been reported that Tesla's wholesale sales, which remember is the sum of retail or domestic sales and export sales, were 83,135 vehicles in September. So this would be much lower than I would have expected before the delivery report came out. Remember, Tesla in July and August produced about 10,000 vehicles more than they ended up selling in those months. Usually that comes back in the last month, but my guess is in Q3, we're not going to end up seeing that because I expect production to be at least 80,000 plus. So what we're seeing here is probably some of those vehicles that Tesla ended up producing didn't even make it into the export figures, probably just a lot of vehicles, even just on their way to the port that weren't quite counted yet. So that's a strong clue that our suspicion that a lot of the delivery shortfall to production worldwide for the quarter was coming out of what was happening with Shanghai. Not terribly surprising there at this point. The other thing that I want to look at quickly here, since we'll get more information on this soon, don't want to overanalyze it, but if we assume that 10, 20,000 vehicles or so did make it into that export tally for September, that would leave 63 to 73,000 that were sold domestically as retail sales, which at the midpoint of those, that would put Q3 retail sales at about 110,000 vehicles, which would be up almost exactly 50% from last year's Q3 retail sales. It would also put the year-to-date retail sales figure up about 50% from year-to-date at this point last year. So both of those numbers sound great, sound like healthy numbers, right on track. Why would anyone have demand concerns with that type of growth? Well, if we look a little bit deeper here, you start to see maybe some concerns around smaller periods of time. If we look at the 6 months from Q4 to Q1, Tesla's sales in China over that 6 month period were about 225,000 vehicles. Now the last 6 months, Q2 to Q3, only about 200,000 vehicles, so down 10% on a rolling 6 month period. So the questions are, well, why didn't Tesla sell more in China when they've been able to do it before? And yes, you can listen to Tesla and believe that that is 100% a logistics related move, or you can look at the backlog and say, hey, the backlog is down, Tesla didn't have the demand. As I've kind of said before, I think the reality is somewhere in the middle. Yes, I think there's a bit of a demand pocket here in China right now. As I've said, I think it's fair to have those conversations to talk about that and analyze it. I just think the implications of that are being overrated and that Tesla can manage through that. They have plenty of demand elsewhere at this point in time. And if they need to, I think there are ways for them to stoke Chinese demand when that time comes. And maybe that's pretty soon, maybe it's not, but along that way, Tesla is going to keep driving down on costs. And when they eventually need to do that, if they eventually need to do that, they'll be well prepared. Anyway, we should be getting more on those numbers tomorrow, but hopefully that gives a little bit more context on what we know right now. And by the way, that 83,000 wholesale sales figure, that is still a record month for Tesla. All right, next up, we've got some sales reporting out of Germany as well. These always get a lot of attention outside of the podcast. I don't love talking about individual country sales in individual months, but in September, the Model Y was the number one selling vehicle in Germany with just under 10,000 vehicles sold. The Volkswagen Golf was second at about 7,100. The Model 3 came in 8th place for the month with just under 4,000. So nice to see, but of course we know this is due to the delivery wave. Hopefully over time these become more meaningful as that wave smooths out and Tesla starts to deliver more from Giga Berlin. But with those current factors, the year-to-date ranking is much more important. And on that, the Model Y ranks 16th. It's about 40,000 vehicles behind the Volkswagen Golf, so it does show that there's still plenty of room for Tesla to continue to grow. I think most of us expect that the Model Y will be the number one selling vehicle by units in the world. next year, we should get a much better idea of how close Tesla is getting to that achievement in Germany. The path to do that, by the way, is lowering cost of production, lowering cost of delivery by having local production, and then passing a chunk of those savings on to the final customer by lowering prices. That's all a part of the plan, and Tesla can still be extremely profitable under those circumstances. All right, last couple of things here. First, just a quick note on FSD. We had talked previously about how Elon had said that there should be an update to FSD this week. We'll have to see on that, but in the meantime, Elon did reply to a whole Mars tweet saying that there needs to be more work done on persistence of objects through occlusions in FSD beta. I've definitely noticed that in my car as well. Tesla's talked about some of these things, but clearly still some work that needs to be done. Elon replying, though, and saying that it will, although no timeline in this case being attached to that comment. Lastly, then, some news from over the weekend on Rivian. They have filed to recall nearly all the vehicles that they have produced to date, and this will be a physical recall, not over the air, to check the nut that connects the front upper control arm and steering knuckle, which may not have been sufficiently torqued. Rivian has found two vehicles where the steering knuckle became loose or had separated, and they have found 6 reports potentially related to this issue across the fleet so far. So less than a 20th of a percent of the fleet, but of course, any issue here could affect other vehicles down the line if not taken care of. All right, that is it for today then. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and we'll see you tomorrow for the Tuesday, October 11th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.